Glory to God. Welcome, everyone, to Arise Company, where we help people find life, enjoy life, and win in life. Glory to God. This is the day the Lord has made. We choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. Winners are glad. Winners are happy. Winners are joyful. Winners have an extra wiggle in their step. Amen? Hallelujah. That's who we are. We are victorious. We are winners. Glory to God. We have been, it's a healing month. And we've been talking about, I guess last week we talked about getting a hold of our healing. We talked about how to we talked about kicking over some sacred cows, and the first couple services, I actually have a title for that, which is not, I'm remembering right now, but we were kicking over some sacred cows. And then last week, we started talking about the spirit of faith, healing month, the spirit of faith. And we went to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So let's go there again, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, talking about the spirit of faith. Breaking through to your healing, kicking over sacred cows, and then 2 Corinthians 4:13, talking about the spirit of faith. See, we need to knock over and kick over some sacred cows because there's some mindsets that have hindered us and held us back. We have our healing month. We've been doing this for, I think, this might be our sixth year. So this is some advanced stuff we are getting into right now. If you want to get some of the basics in regards to healing, foundational type stuff, you can go back on the website. And we've got, I think there's 5 years on the website that you can dig into at Jeff Lowell Ministries Healing Month. So we've got, I think it's probably 5 years. But just even with our healing challenge, I wanted to get into some stuff that's a little bit more advanced, because sometimes people have some of the basics, and still things seem to have not changed much. And so there's some reasons why. And so we had to kick over some sacred cows because there's just some mindsets that can hinder and hold back. Even though we know some of the basics and we know what is ours, but how do we get it from being knowing that it's ours to actually experiencing what is ours and enjoying what is ours? And so we have just taken some steps forward to deal with some of those things, so we can move forward, so we can enjoy the good life that He has for us. We can enjoy healing and health and wholeness in every area of our lives, including our physical body. Glory to God. And so now we're going to talk about the spirit of faith. And we talked about this. So verse 13, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13, says, "And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak." So I raised the question last week, what did Paul say he had that put him over in the hard places of life? What kept him going when everything and everyone was telling him to stop, to quit, to back off? And what was the thing that he had? And he says, listen, since we have the same spirit of faith, we have it. This is something that we have. We have the same spirit of faith. What about you? What about me? What do we have? We can declare the same thing. It's available to us. Amen. We have the same spirit of faith. Glory to God. So Paul was quoting from David in Psalm 116. Psalm 116. Verses 8 to 10, where David said, "I believed, therefore I spoke." And so we saw that one of the things that David did when he said in Psalm 118 is he said, "The Lord will light my candle." And we found out how the Lord lights our candle. First of all, we found out that our candle is our spirit. Proverbs 20 says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. God says, I will light your candle. How is he going to light our candle? Psalm 119 tells us that the entrance of his word gives light. So he's going to light our candle. He's going to light our spirit with his word. His word lights us. His word sets us on fire. Amen. That's what you light a candle. You light a candle with fire. And it's that fire that gives light and brightness and direction. Amen. Glory to God. We are fired up. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we began to then look at the spirit of faith in action. And we looked at David in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And remember, we talked about Goliath. And I just wanted to, I grabbed the message translation because I wanted to just read about Goliath and his height and so on. Because, you know, the King James and New King James talks about weights and height and stuff in terms that we do not use. And so I just wanted to quickly read this and update us. The giant, nearly 10 feet tall, stepped out from the Philistine line into the open. Goliath from Gath. He had a bronze helmet on his head and was dressed in armor, 126 pounds of it. That's like a person. He's wearing a person on him. He's almost 10 feet tall. His armor is 126 pounds of it. He wore bronze shin guards and carried a bronze sword. His spear was like a fence rail, and the spear tip alone weighed over 15 pounds. His shield bearer walked ahead of him. And so we see here that he's a big guy. He's a big guy. He's intimidating. He's a bully. And he expects everyone to just cower just at his presence. And when he speaks, you know, he expects everyone to just back off. Like I said before, no one has talked back to him since elementary school. Why? Because he was a bully. And that's what bullies do. Bullies intimidate people. Now, bullies are not necessarily action people. They are just intimidators. You know, I remember hearing the story years and years ago about the bully who made a list about all the people he can whip in school, and he put it up on the wall there, and one guy looked at it and found his name on there, and he turned around and said, "Hey, listen, you can't whip me." And he goes, oh, well, I apologize. Let me take your name off." That's the way the devil is. He just wants to intimidate us. But we need to remind him, listen, you can't whip us. You're a defeated foe. Jesus has already won the victory for us. He's already beat you. He's made you a big zero. Hallelujah. And we are in Christ. Amen? And so he's got to take our name off his list. Hallelujah. Because of what Jesus did for us. Amen? But we need to stand up. And exercise our rights. Because if we don't stand up, the devil will keep our name on the list and he will continue to keep attacking. And he will continue to, he is not going to back down. Right? See, bullies will continue to attack until all of a sudden you stand up. And then they go, oh. They back off. If they're not intimidating, if you're not intimidated, then all of a sudden they back down. So, that's the way the devil is. So we then went on to 2 Kings, talking about Elisha. So we talked about David. Amen. David had there was a cause. There was a cause, and he was fed up with hearing Goliath talk. He was not afraid. All of Israel was afraid. But David, when he heard the same words that terrified everyone else, it got him mad. He said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who does he think he is? Reproaching and putting down and considering the armies of the living God as nothing." He took it personal towards God. This is an attack on God. And so when everyone else was hiding and running away, David said, "Okay, what does the guy get that kills this guy? There's got to be a reward. What's the reward for killing him? You know, I will kill him. If there's no one else in the line, I'm going to go do it." There was no one in the line. You know? And so his words made it to the king. The king said, you can't do that. And David had to rehearse and remember and remind and bring to remembrance all that the Lord had done for him before and what God had said. And it's the same thing for us. We're going to have to continue to remind ourselves. If you've got to stand in front of the mirror and go, this is what the Lord's done for you before. This is what the Lord's done before you. He's going to do the same thing for us. Amen. Speak the word of God. Thanks be to God who always causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus. Amen. Thanks be to God who gives me the victory through my Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We are more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. Amen. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith in him. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So if you need to look at yourself in the mirror and talk to yourself, encourage yourself, amen, by all means do it. Hallelujah. David began to speak and to declare these things, and he convinced the king. Where the king finally said, yeah, okay, go. And David killed Goliath. Goliath was talking, and David had enough of listening to him talk. What did we talk about? He said, don't let the devil do all the talking in your life. Don't let the devil do all the talking in your life. And interrupt him. When the devil starts talking to you, when these thoughts start coming to you, when thoughts start coming to you that it's not working, it's taking too long, it's what have I done? You know, when these thoughts, see those sacred cows that we kicked over, those are thoughts that the devil brings, mindsets that have been established because we've listened to the thoughts and heard the thoughts long enough that all of a sudden we just think that's the way it is. But when those thoughts come, attack the thoughts. Amen? Like Mark Hankin said, don't run at your giant with your mouth closed, with your mouth shut. In other words, when your giant comes to you, when the lies come to you, when those sacred cows start mooing at you, open up your mouth and begin to speak and declare the word of God. Swing the sword of the Spirit at those thoughts, at the lies of the devil. Amen. Don't let him do all the talking. You speak back. You declare what you believe. Why? Because the spirit of faith believes and speaks. So we must speak. We must open our mouth and speak the word of God that we believe. But speak the word of God that we believe. Speak the word of God that we believe. Say what we believe. Attack those things with our words. And so that's what David did. He opened up his mouth and he began to tell the giant what was going to happen. And then he went and he killed him. And he chopped his head off. There was only one problem, though. David didn't have a sword, but he told him he was going to chop his head off. So he goes and he climbs on top of Goliath when he was already dead and grabbed his sword, Goliath's sword, and chopped his head off with that sword. You know, so we may not have the sword. We might not have everything, but when we're speaking the word of God and declaring the word of God, how it's going to be, God provides and supplies. Amen? Hallelujah. We just know that God's got the victory for us. We just know that he causes us to overcome. We just know that he's our source and our provider and he's taking care of us. Amen? So we don't know how all the time, but we know the end result. Amen? So don't get hung up on all the details about the how. Just know God knows the how. God knows the how. A lot of these great and precious promises are not hows. Great and precious promises are end results. Okay, so how? As we begin to step forward, as we begin to have the spirit of faith, believing and speaking these things, the how comes one step at a time. We don't need to know the fourth step. We just need to know the next step. Amen? The hows can come one step at a time. Glory to God. But we need to believe and speak. That's the first step. Believe and speak. Amen? And so then we looked at 2 Kings chapter 6 talking about Elisha and the horses and chariots of fire. Remember, there's more that be with us than be with them. Elisha said, don't be afraid. Right? He believes and he speaks. His employee, his servant, he was terrified. And so then Elisha said, "Lord, open up his eyes." So then the Lord opened up his eyes, and so his servant then took a second look, and it's like, oh, look at that. The hills were filled with chariots and angels of fire. Hallelujah. Horses, chariots of fire. So, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, for there's more that be with us than be with them. Let's go to Genesis chapter 13. We will pick up here. Genesis chapter 13. The spirit of faith. The spirit of faith. Genesis chapter 13. So we see here in Genesis chapter 13, verse 1, then Abraham went out from Egypt, and he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, to the south. Abraham was very rich in livestock and silver and in gold, and he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been in the beginning between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there first, and there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. Lot also, who went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. Now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. And so Abraham said to Lot, "Please let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren or family. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. If you go to the right, then I will go to the left." And Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was all well-watered everywhere before the Lord had destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the Garden of Eden, or the Garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go toward Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plains and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. Verse 14, and the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, "Lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see I give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then the descendants also, your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and through its width, for I give it to you." Then Abraham moved his tent and went and dwelt by the Tiberinth tree in Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord. So, what we see here is that Abraham and Lot, Abram was very rich. And because of Lot's association with Abraham, the blessing had gone off on him, and he was also had great possessions. And the land, there wasn't enough land for all their herds and for their flocks and for all their livestock. It's interesting, you know, you'd think God would know how much land, a certain amount of livestock could handle. And God will only bless them to the point where the land could just handle that. That's what people would think. But the truth is, God is a God who's more than enough. El Shaddai, he's God who's more than enough. Right? So he will always cause our cup to run over. Not just to be full, but run over. So they had issues here. I mean, the land wasn't big enough, and so there was strife. And Abraham said this. He said, "I refuse strife. We will have no strife in the camp. There will be no strife in the family." So look, wherever you want to go. You want to go that way, I'll go that way. If you want to go that way, I'll go that way. Right? Can you understand this? This is the spirit of faith. Abraham is saying, you choose where you want to go, and I'll go the other direction. Instead of Abraham, he's in charge. Just picking, I'm going to go that way, you go that way. Tell his nephew, there's not going to be no strife. You need to leave. You go over there. Go that way. No, he said, you pick what you want, and I'll go the other way. Can you see the spirit of faith? He's trusting God. His belief is in God. He expects no matter where he goes, even if if Lot picks the best and I go to the worst, it's going to become the best because God's with me. Amen. The blessing will cause things to change because I go in that direction. I'm moving that way. I'm following him. I'm putting my hand and going to where he has, I'm going in that direction. He'll cause what I put my hand to prosper. He'll cause the blessing and increase to happen there. Can you see that? The spirit of faith. The spirit of faith is not selfish. Me first. The spirit of faith said, you pick, you choose. Why? Because wherever I go, whatever's left over is going to be better than what I got right now. Amen? The spirit of faith. And so after Lot left is when God started talking to Abram. Amen? Lot left. Lot picked the best. And God showed up and said, lift up your eyes from where you are. I want you to see something. I want you to see something that you haven't seen before. I want you to lift up your eyes. Quit looking at where you are. Lift up your eyes and I want you to look. Because I'm giving it all to you. Everything you can see, I'm giving to you and your descendants. All that you can see, I give to you. So now arise, walk, go. For I give it to you. So Abraham moved. He took action. Amen? The spirit of faith. Spirit of faith. He believed God. He believed God. Amen? And we can do the same. It doesn't matter where we find ourselves, and doesn't matter where we find ourselves going and say, well, it doesn't look as good as what was behind me. It doesn't look as good as my past. It doesn't look as good as what it could be. He says, don't look. Don't look. He says, because where you're going, I can make it better. Abram believed God to make where he was going. Lot picked the best. That means Abram was going to the worst. What it looked like the worst. But God caused it and turned it around to be the best. Amen? So don't get hung up on how it looks. We must not get hung up on how it looks. Don't get discouraged and give up because of how it looks. God said, listen, lift up your eyes and begin to look beyond how it looks. Do you notice that? He said, listen, lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are. In other words, quit looking at just where you are, and I want you to see something beyond where you are. I want you to see something beyond where you are. Too many times all we're doing is looking where we are, and it can be discouraging. But don't just look at where you are. Take the promises of God and allow God to let you look and see beyond where you are. Begin to see the great and precious promises in your life. Begin to see what He has for you. Amen? His word lets us know. So we refuse to give place to strife. So the spirit of faith refuses to give place to strife. There will be no strife here. And then he began to declare, I believe God and spoke. You go that way, I'll go that way. Trust in God. Amen? The spirit of faith believes and speaks, believes and speaks. Abraham spoke. And then we get into chapter 14 and we pick up in verse 14. You know, because now all of a sudden Lot is over there in the best place and he pitched his tent towards Sodom. And then before long, you find out that now Lot and his family, they're residents of Sodom. You know, you can't just pitch your tent towards Sodom. You can't be looking at Sodom every day without and deciding to move to Sodom. It's very important that we need to judge and be aware of what we're looking at, because what we're looking at is where we end up going. What we're looking at is what we attract to ourselves. What we focus on is where we go. I said this years ago when my nephews were young. 3, 4, 5, maybe something. Where your nose goes, you go. Where your nose goes is where you go. Where your nose goes. So, I mean, when you ride horses, you're supposed to look where you want to go. And the horse moves in that direction. If you're riding a motorcycle, you look in the direction that you want to go. You're always looking where you're wanting to go, not where you are. I mean, if you're on the road, right, you know, what's the dangerous thing? You're driving on the road and you see a police officer, you see someone on the side of the road and you're watching the side of the road. What happens is you tend to go, you look back at the road and you're not on the road anymore. Why? Because where your nose goes is where we go. So it's important that we understand that what we focus on is the direction that we start to head. So that's why it's important. We need to judge what we're looking at. We need to judge what we're focusing on. So Lot ended up in Sodom. And then there was some armies that came, attacked the cities, took all the people away, and then a word got to Abram. Your nephew's been captured and taken captive. And so Abram grabs 318 of trained men in his own household, staff. In the middle of the night, they go and attack these armies. Abraham and trained staff at home went and destroyed the armies, multiple armies that went and took this, his nephew captive. So, that's a big deal right there. The king of this place and the king of that place and the king of that place and the king of that place. Four kings. Attacked Sodom, Gomorrah, took them captive, Abraham, whipped them all. Whew, that's a big deal. And so when Abraham heard that, verse 14, now when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his 318 trained servants who were born in his own house and went in pursuit as far as Dan. And he divided his forces against them by night, and he and his servants attacked them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. So he brought back all the goods and also brought back his brother Lot, or his brother's son Lot, his nephew, and his goods, as well as the women and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him in the valley of Shaveh, that is the king's valley, after his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer, and the kings who were with him. So it's interesting, you know, we can increase, and the first thing, the first person that shows up is the government. They, you know, Abram went and he won the victory, took all the spoil, and the government shows up. Says, can I have my portion? It's no different. No different. So what does Abraham say? Oh, before the king shows up. The king's on his way. The king is on his way. But before the king's on his way, verse 18, Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High, and he came to Abram. Now, Melchizedek, according to Hebrew tradition, they keep their genealogy, is Shem. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Remember that? Noah, Shem. Melchizedek is Shem. And he shows up, and he blesses him, Abram, and he says, "Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And he gave him a tithe of all. So Abraham gave a tenth of his spoil, and the prophets gave it. And then the king finally showed up. So the king's on his way, but before the king shows up, Abram honors the Lord with a tithe. And then the government shows up. The king shows up, says, "Give me the people and take the goods for yourself." And Abraham said this, I want you to see the spirit of faith. I want you to see the spirit of faith. And Abraham said to the king of Sodom, "I have raised my hand to the Lord, God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abraham rich, except only what the young men have already eaten and the portion of the men who went with me. After Eshcol and Mamre, let them take their portion." He said, "I'm not going to take anything. What everyone's already ate, that's already ours. And then I will let them take their portion, keep their profits, their portion. But of my stuff, I've already raised my hand. I've already committed to God. My trust and my confidence is in Him. Lest you say, I'm not going to take anything of yours. I'm not, as a matter of fact, it's not even his anymore. It's all Abraham's. It's all Abraham's." And the king says, "Just give me the people and you can keep all the goods." And he said, "Listen, I've already made a choice, a commitment to God. I refuse to allow you the opportunity to ever say, you're the one who made me rich. So you can have the people and you can have everything except for what my guys decide that they want." Can you hear that? The spirit of faith. He honored the Lord with a tithe, and he gave everything else back. You know, because you could be rejoicing right just before this, but all the increase. Thank you, Lord, you're increasing me more and more and more. Woo! Thank you, Lord, for the increase. More and more and more. Honor the Lord with a tithe. Thank you, Lord, for the increase. More and more and more. Woo! And then all of a sudden, king shows up. And he gives it all away. All the profit. Everything is gone. He's given it away. That can be discouraging. But good thing it's not over. Chapter 15, verse 1. Lord shows up. "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid." Isn't that good news? Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Don't fear. Why? Because you'd be tempted to. Now, he's already very rich. But one of the things about being very rich is profit and increase is an automatic expectation. You're constantly wanting to increase more and more. That's how we become very rich, is increasing more and more and more. When is enough enough? There actually is never enough is enough. There never is enough is enough. Because how many people can we help? How many people, how can we be a blessing? Well, I only want to be a blessing. I only want to be this much of a blessing. No, no, we want to continue to be a blessing. In order to continue to be a blessing, we must continue to being blessed. We must increase more and more so we can do more and more. God is never asking us to do less and less. Oh, you've reached your peak. You know, you can relax now. No, no, no. God is never in a relaxing. You can retire. God's not into retiring. We may retire from a job. We might retire from a few jobs. But God is still wanting us to do something. Amen? God's a God of more than enough. And so we see here, The God says, listen, don't sweat it, do not be afraid, for I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. Now, that phrase really doesn't mean a whole lot. I mean, it's kind of like cool, but it doesn't necessarily hit home until you begin to open up these words and look at them in the Hebrew. What is it? I'm your shield, I'm your defense. No, so you can read the Amplified, and it can amplify it a little bit, but it still doesn't go into the detail. I'm your shield, I'm your defense, I'm your protector, I'm taking care of you. Okay, so that's nice. So he's our avenger. He's protecting and defending us. He's protecting and defending our legal rights to prosper, our inheritance. Right? As citizens of the kingdom of God, we have legal rights. As children of the family of God, we have an inheritance. So he's our avenger. He's protecting and defending our legal rights, and in this case, to prosper. He said, don't be afraid. I'm your shield. I'm your shield. And he goes on to say, I'm your exceeding great reward. Exceeding great reward. Those three words, exceeding great reward, is translated this way. I am quickly and speedily increasing and multiplying your wage, your salary, and your worth. I'm quickly and speedily increasing and multiplying your wage, your salary, and your worth. That's what the Hebrew says. I'm quickly and speedily increasing and multiplying your wage, your salary, and your worth. Don't be afraid. Isn't that good news? He honored the Lord with the tithe, gave the rest back. It's his. He could have done with it whatever he wanted. But he said, I already lifted my hand and I committed to the Lord that my trust is in him. So he said, there is a conflict of interest here, because if I keep this, the opportunity for this wicked king to say, he made me rich, I don't ever want that to happen. I don't ever want to see that in the newspaper. You know, Success Magazine or Fortune 500 Magazine, all of a sudden, you know, King so-and-so, I made Abraham rich. No. I don't ever want to see that written. I don't ever want that lie to be perpetrated just because. Why did you think that? Well, because I let him have everything. No, you didn't let him have nothing. It was stolen from you, and Abraham got it all back. It's his. You couldn't defend and protect yourself, king. You were taken captive. You're just lucky you're alive. That those other kings didn't kill you. But see, the devil twists everything. And so Abraham said, I'm giving it all back to you. Because I believe, and I'm speaking and saying, my God is taking care of me. Amen? Hallelujah. He didn't have to do that, but can you see? Do we have to do that? No. He did it because he was refusing to give place to that lie and misconception that this wicked man might say that he made me rich. Right? So he just did an honorable thing. He went over and above. And he did what he didn't have to do. But he did it because, listen, I'm choosing to believe God. Abraham didn't have to give Lot the first choice. He could have made his own first choice and told Lot to get lost. We're family, yeah, and your staff are not treating my staff well. I've warned you three times. This is it. Goodbye. Go find your own place to live. That's not the way Abraham functioned. That's not the way he operated. Abraham, I believe God, and he spoke the spirit of faith. God shows up and said, listen, the Lord came to Abram in a vision and said, do not be afraid. I'm your shield. I'm your defense. I'm protecting and taking care of you. And I'm quickly and speedily increasing and multiplying your wage, your salary, and your worth. The spirit of faith opens the door for God to continue to work in our lives. Let's go to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. We've talked about this before. Paul finds himself in a storm. What kind of a storm? It's a storm that stole all hope. The storm that stole all hope. Psalm 27, not Psalm 27, Acts 27. Acts 27. There was a storm that showed up. Verse 20. Acts 27, verse 20. Says, now when there neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat upon us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. The professionals, the sailors, the captain, everybody, they'd been in storms before. Storms are not a big deal. But there was something about this storm. This was not a normal storm. This was a storm that stole all hope. It literally sucked all hope and expectation out of all of them. There was no hope left. And Paul, after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart. King James says, be of good cheer. I urge you to be of good cheer. Cheer up. For there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, of whose I am and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. They should thank him for that. Therefore, take heart, be of good cheer, because I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. This is the spirit of faith. When all hope is gone, Paul went to the Lord. All hope is gone. He's not even in this situation because of anything he did. He said, listen, I don't think it's a good idea. He said, I perceive this is not a good idea to sail. And they sailed anyways. And he had to be on the ship because he was a prisoner. It's not like he had an option. He found himself in a situation and a circumstance that was not his doing. And all hope is gone. When the guys that are in control of the ship that you're sailing on, you know, it's like the plane that you're flying on. And everyone that's in charge, the captain, the pilots, everyone, they've given up hope. That doesn't mean there's no hope. He went to God. And after long abstinence, he's fasted and he's praying. The angel of the Lord showed up and said, you must be brought before Caesar. Do not be afraid. What did the angel say? Do not be afraid. First of all, again, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Refuse to fear. See, when you've got no hope, there's fear. So don't fear. Don't fear. Okay? So what do? You can't just not fear. So what am I supposed to do? Well, cheer up. Cheer up. Right? Don't fear. But he's telling them, cheer up. So there's no use in him just looking at them and say, hey, quit being afraid. Well, they've already lost all hope. They're already afraid. So we can't just say, don't fear. Don't be afraid. Just quit fearing. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. It's not enough just to say, stop it. Right? There's something we have to do. Okay, if I'm going to stop that, what am I supposed to start then? Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Why? Because the angel showed up of God, and he talked to me. And he said, don't be afraid. Okay, why should I not be afraid? Well, you need to go to Caesar. And so I'm giving everyone on the ship with you. You're going to make it. Oh, see? Don't fear. Why? Because you're going to make it. Don't fear, because you're all going to live. Now, the ship is going to be lost, but y'all are going to live. So don't be afraid. You're all going to live. There's a plan. You still need to be going somewhere. You're going to see Caesar. God has granted those who are, sail with you. So therefore, take heart. Be of good cheer. Cheer up. Because I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. How many times can we use that? How many times are the things where all of a sudden we lost hope? Or how many times we're just are afraid? And we can just use this, the spirit of faith. What is the spirit of faith? The spirit of faith believes and speaks. And so this is one of those phrases. Listen, we ought to just make this a habit, this song, this phrase. I believe God, right? That it shall be even as it was told me. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Not how it looks, not how it feels. No. No, I choose to believe God as it was told me. I choose to believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Hallelujah. The spirit of faith. I choose to believe, and we speak it. It's not enough just to believe him. We need to speak it. We need to speak it. So cheer up, right? If we got to look at ourselves in the mirror and go, cheer up, smile. Turn the frown upside down, amen? Smile, cheer up, cheer up, cheer up, cheer up, cheer up. We got to do that to ourselves in the mirror. Do it. Amen? Why? Because we believe God, and it shall be even as it was told us. It's going to be just like this. It's going to be just like this, right? Lift up your eyes from where you are. Quit looking at just where you are, but I want you to see something more. 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 I want you to see something bigger. I want you to see something better. I want you to see something more. This is what I see. I believe God. I refuse to fear, and I choose to believe God that it shall be just as he told me, just like he said. I know it doesn't look like that way. I know it doesn't feel that way, but that's why we have to choose to believe. That's what the spirit of faith does. The spirit of faith chooses to believe, even though it doesn't look that way, feel that way, or sound that way. Amen? We choose to believe because God responds to what we believe in line with his word. That's why he said, listen, don't fear. Why? Because fear is believing what the devil shows us. Faith is believing what God shows us. Fear is believing what the devil tells us. Faith is believing what God tells us. So fear not. Quit believing this and choose to believe this, right? Quit believing what the devil says. Quit believing what the picture he shows us and choose to believe this. Choose to believe this. I believe this and speak this. I believe this and speak this. You believe this and you speak this. This is the spirit of faith. We believe this and speak this. And it keeps the door open for God to move on our behalf. Amen? Spirit of faith. The spirit of faith. Let's go to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. And we'll close with this. Mark chapter 5, the woman with the issue of blood. Verse 25, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. And had suffered many things from many physicians, and she had spent all that she had and was not better, but rather grew worse. Now that's like a hopeless situation. That's not an inspiring situation. That's not a situation that makes you cheer up. It's discouraging. For 12 years, she spent all that she had, and none of the doctors could help her. Matter of fact, she's gotten worse. She's gotten worse and has no more money. Verse 27, and then she heard about Jesus. When she heard about Jesus, something happened. She heard about Jesus, and then verse 28 says this. For she said, And that word is a plural. It means in the Greek, it's she saying. For she saying, she kept saying. What did she keep saying? She kept saying, if I only may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. I shall be made well. Can you see that? This is the spirit of faith. She's broke, she's feeling worse, and she's not any better. Everything she's tried has not worked. Then she heard of Jesus. And now her focus is on Jesus. Her focus is, and she's not just believing this, she is saying this. She's saying this. Amen? Say saying. Saying. She's saying this out loud. All day long. All day long. She's saying this. She's saying, if I only may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. If I can just touch his clothes, I'll be made well. She's just saying this over and over and over and over. And finally, she's not only believing this, she is speaking this. And it got to the point where she could no longer just stay at home believing this and speaking this. She had to take another action. It wasn't enough just to speak it anymore. There was an action that another action that had to take place. There was another step that had to be stepped. Amen? And so the last half of verse 27 says, she came behind him, Jesus, in the crowd and touched his garment. So she heard of Jesus. Now she's beginning to speak this over and over and over. She's saying what she believes. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made well. I'll be made whole. And she finally got to the point where it's just not enough to say it anymore. I need to put some clothes on. You know, I can't just be walking around the house in my house coat anymore. I need to put some clothes on, and I need to get out of the house. And I need to go find Jesus. And I need to do. I need to do what I say I believe. And she touched the hem of his garment. And verse 29 says, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body. She literally felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, he turned around in the crowd and said, who touched me? And his disciples said, not a very smart question. Who touched you? Everyone's touching you. What do you mean, who touched? No. Jesus said, listen. He looked around, verse 32, to see her who had done this thing. The one with the glow, the one with the smile that can't be wiped off her face, that's the person I'm looking for. She just received something. And he saw her, and she saw him, and the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing that what had happened in her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And Jesus said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Now, interesting, right? She heard about Jesus and believed. Then she kept saying, that's the spirit of faith. Then she took more action and received, right? She didn't receive her healing just because she believed and was speaking. She's believing and speaking, believing and speaking, believing and speaking. She didn't need to take another action in order to receive. So sometimes we might be believing and speaking and go, well, nothing's happened. Well, it doesn't always happen, believing and speaking. It doesn't just happen right away. What's the next step? What's the next thing? She had to take some more action, and then she received. And then after she received, she began to testify. She told her story. She began to testify. Look what the Lord has done for me. Amen? So here's the spirit of faith. Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you well. Well, I thought it was the power. Well, see, her faith activated the power. Her faith connected to his power. Everyone else was touching him, but nothing happened to them. But her faith activated the power in him. Our faith will activate his power in us. Amen? The spirit of faith. The spirit of faith believes and speaks, takes action. And so if her faith made her well, our faith can make us well. Amen? Your faith can make you well. Can make you well. can make you well. Hallelujah. Healing and health are our God-given right and inheritance. We're in healing month, so we're talking about healing. So the spirit of faith will propel you forward to boldly take what is yours. The spirit of faith will propel you forward to boldly take what's yours. Amen? It begins with believing and speaking. Believing and speaking. This is where it begins, believing and speaking. The spirit of faith, believing and speaking. We saw that's what David said. Remember Psalm 18? I believe and speak. And that's why it's important to have revelation knowledge. He lights my candle. Why? So we can run through a troop and leap over a wall. We want to experience our healing, health in every area of our lives. That's us breaking through the troop and leaping over the wall. Amen? Believing and speaking. Believing and speaking. Getting revelation knowledge. Causing the eyes of our understanding to be flooded with light. Being lit. Lit with His Word. Lit with His Word. Excited about it. Cheer up. Cheer up. Cheer up. That's what happens. When we believe the Word of God, we speak the Word of God, it gets us excited. Hallelujah. That's the spirit of faith. Spirit of faith. When we are excited about what God said. Excited about what God said. We're not just quoting. We're not just repeating some scriptures. Well, by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. No. Lord, I want to thank You. By Your stripes, I was healed. I mean, if I was healed, then I am healed. And if I am healed, then I'm just going to rejoice because this has got to change. My body's got to change. Right? Things got to change. It is just got to because I believe You and I speak it. And so I rejoice because we're excited about it. Amen? So the spirit of faith will propel you forward to boldly take what is yours. So we are not stuck. I know I've said that before. We're not stuck. We are not stuck. We're not stuck. We're not stuck with no hope. We are not stuck. Our best days are ahead of us. Amen? Our best days are ahead of us. The Holy Ghost is just wanting to remind us our best days are ahead of us. Don't get stuck. Don't give up. Our best days are ahead of us. Amen? Glory to God.